What was the name of that one, Darwin? I heard the bells on Christmas Eve. I think that's what it was, huh? Yeah, is that found in our red book?
Blue, red, pink.
Okay. Good, thank you. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. I hope you're staying warm. I want to announce that winter officially starts next Saturday, so then you can pull out your long underwear. Couple of announcements. If you've got offering envelopes, please pick them up there in the fellowship hall. Next Sunday, our cantata. Is the choir ready for cantata? One service at 9 o'clock. Okay. Music is great this year. It's really, really good. So if you're able, come and join us at 9 o'clock. The Christmas schedule is in your bulletins. I think that's all we need to announce. Get to baptize little Ava. She's eating right now. So that's neat. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, on this cold, cold morning where your winter winds blow, some of us gather with heavy hearts, troubled with what happens in our lives, with things that have come our way that are disturbing. Some of us gather with joy, ready to celebrate the joy of the promise of new life in baptism, for instance, the joy of gathering with family, joy of living in this land which we live in, and yet we gather around your holy table, ever mindful of your presence in our lives, your spirit that moves in our hearts. And we ask, O Lord, that your spirit might stir us this morning, that we might love in a greater way and care more deeply than we do. So send your spirit, Lord, as we say our prayers and sing these wonderful hymns. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Why don't you lead us and then we will dismiss you. Thank you. The congregation, please rise. Let's join in singing our opening hymn, 774, What a Fellowship. bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, our life, our mercy, our might.
Amen.
As we await the day of the Lord, let us confess our sin. Let's take a moment for silent confession. And let us confess together, Great and Holy One, in this time of waning daylight, we confess the shadows of sin in our lives. We build ourselves up at the expense of others. We rely on our own efforts to make our lives secure. Yet you, O Lord, are the potter, and we are the clay. Come to restore us in your image, remake us into your people, and rebuild what sin has broken, that we and the whole creation may rejoice. Amen. Fear not, people of God. The Almighty has done great things for us. God casts away our sin from us and makes of us a new creation. In Jesus Christ, God comes to set you free. Take heart in the tender compassion of our God.
Amen.
From the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the first fruits of the resurrection, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you once called John the Baptist to give witness to the coming of your Son and to prepare his way. Grant us, your people, the wisdom to see your purpose today and the openness to hear your will, that we may witness to Christ's coming and so prepare his way. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we have our lessons read.
The first reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The prophet describes the return from the Babylonian captivity as a joyous procession to Zion. God's coming reign will bring a renewal of creation in which health and wholeness will be restored. There is no need for fear, for God is coming to save. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. The second reading is from Luke 1, verses 46b to 55. We will read the reading responsively, and you will read the bold print, and where there's a bold R, please respond with, My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
For you, Lord, have looked with favor on your lowly servant.
From this day all generations will call me blessed. You, the Almighty, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. You have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. You have shown strength with your arm and scattered the proud in their conceit, casting down the mighty from their thrones and lifting up the lowly. You have filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. You have come to the aid of your servant Israel, to remember the promise of mercy, the promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever. Spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Here ends the reading. Please rise for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this third Sunday of Advent is found in the fifth chapter of St. James. In anticipation of the Lord's coming, Christians are called upon to cultivate patience rather than discontent. James writes, "Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See the judges standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." Please be seated. Little Ava, here, let me show Ava to the congregation, okay? I noticed she's been singing with us today, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, what a little baby. Look at this. This is the before picture, all right? And after we baptized, we'll clean her up real good, and she'll be our sister in Christ. Oh, yeah, you got to take that picture. There you go. That's the before. Yeah. Let me share a little bit about baptism. Baptism is a sacrament. A sacrament, the definition, is something that is commanded by Jesus using earthly materials to strengthen our faith. And so Jesus says, "Go into all the world baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching all that I have said and done." And so we baptize. And what you are saying by bringing Ava here is that you want to raise her in a Christian family. This little girl is going to be watching you two all the rest of your life, the way you treat one another, the way you treat her, the way you talk and laugh and serve and love. She's going to learn all these things from you, okay? If you don't do anything else right with your life, you treat her like a little queen and you'll be a good example of your behavior, okay? That's the first thing. The second thing that happens in baptism is we are promised life in the age to come. We are all part of some miraculous plan that God has for His creation. The Spirit of God is in every bit of His creation. Every person, young and old, every plant, every animal, the Spirit of God is present in the world, okay? And the Spirit that comes to Ava has to be nurtured and taken care of. So, as we live in that Spirit, the promise is we will have, we've got this, I think it was on in the movie Open Range. You ever see that? Remember they were burying that kid out on the prairie, and Kevin Costner, they asked him to say a prayer, and he says, "I can't, I'm too mad at God." And an old, the old guy, what's his name? You know who I'm talking about. He says, "Okay, well, we better say something." And he talked about living between the eternities. We live between the eternities. And then we'll return to God. That's what's going to happen with Ava, okay? But we have to live our Christian life day after day. Put the values together. Make this world a better place. Not just take and take and take. And so raise her with the idea that we will give. Just like Jesus. He gave and gave and gave his life, okay? And that was his journey, and we're on our journey. So you nurture her journey and teach her well. I'm going to ask you some promises. So if you'd like to come up and the sponsors come up, and you can stand over. Why don't you two go in back? And there you go. I'll ask you some questions, and you're promising this before God. I should say, you two, being the godparents, you're making promises to God. These guys don't follow up in their promises. You guys are incumbent upon seeing that Ava's taken care of, okay? All right, so do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? If so, say, I believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? If so, say, I believe. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting? If so, say, I believe. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, say, I renounce him. And do you wish Ava to be baptized into this Christian faith? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Why don't you pour the water in there? And why don't you, Father, light this candle? That's a sign of the light of the world coming into little Ava Rain Hunt's life. There. Yeah, pour it, and then here, I'll take it. Thanks. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. It is absolutely, positively with us. And it is with little Ava now. So we ask that your holy angels watch over her, that she might grow strong in your spirit. We pray for her parents and her sponsors, that they might be good examples of Christian living, of giving of their lives, that others might flourish as well. And so, Heavenly Father, be with us now as little Ava is baptized. Send your holy angels to keep her in your care. In Jesus' name, amen. And so this is little Ava before. You ready? Are you ready, Mom and Dad? Ready, sponsors? Are you ready for this, Ava? I have the privilege and honor of baptizing you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. You've been marked with the cross of Christ. May we grow in God's love now and always. And there you go. She's had her bath, her heavenly bath. Who am I looking for? Yes. Please make your presentation. Little something we have for the parents. And why don't you just take care of those? Her baptismal certificate is there. I would put this in the baptismal certificate. All the important information on this day is there. And you can be seated. Let's sing our sermon hymn, and I'll introduce little Ava to those who don't know her. Say hi to her. Here's your new sister in Christ. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Got a friend who was telling me about her granddaughter. The daughter was going stir crazy at home. They had four kids in the family, an 8-year-old boy, 6-year-old boy, 5-year-old boy, and this little girl that was 4-year-old. Decided to take an outing, went down to Toys R Us, wandered through Toys R Us, and they had made the mistake of going through the doll places where they had all these dolls. The little 4-year-old girl picked up a doll and wanted it. And the mother said, "No, honey, I'm sure Santa Claus will bring you one on Christmas, but we can't have one today." "But I want my doll for my Christmas." "I'm sorry, honey, today's not the day. We're just looking today." "I want my doll for Christmas." And the mother tried to explain, you know, have you been there? You will. Anyway, they put the little daughter down and said, "Okay, we're not buying this today, and if you want to stay here and make a scene, you go ahead." And she kind of wandered away, keeping one eye over, you know, and watching. Pretty soon, this little 3-year-old girl lay down right in the aisle, held this baby, "I want my doll for my Christmas, and I want my doll for my Christmas." And while this little girl protested and screamed, her mother knew that her daughter didn't know what was going on. At home, there was a doll waiting for her that she'd receive on Christmas morning, a doll that was much better than the one she was holding on to. I mean, it had all the bells and whistles. She would enjoy that doll more than she would enjoy any other toy she had. This special doll was waiting for her at home. But at that moment, in her demand for instant gratification, this little girl wanted this shabby imitation of the gift that her mom had already purchased for her. Any of you ever been like that? Any of you ever been a child like that, crying out to God, "I want it this way, and I want it now"? Have we ever been that way with our heavenly parent? The writer of our epistle, James, says to us today, "Be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the summer and the autumn and spring rains? You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." These are the words which I'd like you to focus on for the next few minutes. Huh? As an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. It's hard for anybody to be patient. I mean, all of us have had to learn how to be patient, and we somehow never really get it down. I heard a good story a while back about a kindergarten boy who had gone to school, and they'd had rest time. He took off his boots during rest time. Did any of you have rest time in kindergarten where you had to bring your own rug, or is that just me? Yeah? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. This was the situation in those days. But when the rest time ended, he wanted to get his cowboy boots on, and he couldn't get those cowboy boots on. So he asked, "Teacher, can you come and help me?" And the teacher, being the kind, loving, caring person that she was, said, "Sure, Johnny, I'll help you." And so she pushed and pulled and pushed and pulled. Finally, she had to take that kid and put her in her lap, and "You push and I'll pull." So much so that she was starting to sweat, and then as soon as they got him on, little Johnny says, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." So off and pull and push and pull and push, and got him on the right feet and switched him around and pushed and pulled. And as soon as little Johnny got him on, he says, "Teacher, these aren't my boots." The teacher's already worn out, so turns him around and pulls him off. And as soon as she gets him off, he says, "They're my brother's boots. My mother made me wear them today." So she gets them back on. and helps him with his little jacket and says, "Well, where's your mittens?" Little Johnny says, "Well, they're in the toes of my boots." The last I heard that she was going to be released from the psych unit in about 2 weeks. It's hard for any of us to be patient, whether we're a child or a teacher or a common variety human being. Being patient is difficult, particularly when we're under stress. Especially hard at Christmas. You remember thinking back to your Christmas when you were a kid, wanting to get into some of those presents, wanting to see what was in there? Did any of you ever sneak peeks? Yeah. Only one person in the first service said they did. At least there's a few more honest ones here. It's tough. Might even be more difficult to be patient if you're a parent seeking to corral the right toy for your children's Christmas. You want to get the right thing, huh? Seems that one of the most dangerous places to be this time of year is in a Walmart store, particularly on Black Friday. No one's got patience there. Point is, it's interesting to see that the writer of James uses the Old Testament prophets as an example for patience. And so he writes, "Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." One of the prophets he surely had in mind was Isaiah, who wrote our first lesson. We dealt with one of Isaiah's prophecies last week when he proclaimed that out of the stump of Jesse will come the shoot, Jesus being related to King David, who was Jesse's father. He proclaimed that the Messiah was going to come. Today, in the 35th chapter, we hear another of Isaiah's prophecies as to what lie ahead for the people of God. And so he will say things like, "The desert and the parched land will be glad, the wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like a crocus, it'll burst into bloom. It'll rejoice greatly and shout for joy." He talks about the glory of Lebanon will be given it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They'll see the glory of the Lord. Talks about the deserts, the waters will run, and the deserts will be filled with land and full of greenery and vegetation. And the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be opened, and the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute will shout for joy. Water will gush in the wilderness, but only the redeemed will walk there. In those wilderness, they will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy. And the road, the highway will be there, and it will be called the way of holiness. That's what is promised. That's the dream of life in the age to come. It's going to be a place where there's no more suffering or sorrow or tears, and the sick will be healthy, and the fields will be full of fruit, and the animals will get along. As we noted last week, Isaiah is writing in a time of deep devastation. It's tough times when Isaiah is writing. They've been overrun by enemies, and Judah has no hope. Yet he paints a picture of an idyllic future where God is in charge and where there's peace and hope and love and joy. So I hope you notice the beauty of the vision. The land is going to be completely restored. It's not going to be overrun anymore. It'll be transformed into the Garden of Eden. And they'll be filled with rich nutrients, and vegetation will blossom so much that it'll seem to break forth with shouts of joy and rejoicing. I mean, all these good things are going to happen. And even those who are weak and fearful can look at this glorious future with great anticipation. Something better is to come. That's the promise. And the lame will leap like deer, and the mute, you know, those who can't speak will speak. Neat picture. In Isaiah's day, traveling those roads wasn't an easy prospect. There were ferocious animals and thieves to be worried about, and natural obstacles such as deep ravines and little paths carved on the sides of hills. But all of those are going to be taken care of, and there's not going to be any wicked persons or ferocious animals to endanger the life of the traveler. In short, the kingdom of God is coming to the earth. That's what Isaiah is saying. And when that comes, the earth is going to become a perfect utopia. It's a magnificent picture of the world that Isaiah is painting here for us. Of course, much of Isaiah's writing is poetry. We don't know how much of his imagery should be taken literally. But here's what we need to see. Christmas is about the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Christmas is about God's redemptive plan of salvation. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas isn't about a house so lit up that you can see it from outer space. It's not about giving and receiving of the biggest and best gifts money can buy. It's not about sitting down at dinners with hams and succulent turkeys. It's not even about spending time with family, as precious as that might be. It isn't even about celebrating an infant's birth in a manger. Did you catch that? Christmas isn't ultimately about this baby's birth. Christmas is about the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan for salvation. You see, God has set this up so that one day there will be peace and love and joy and no suffering. And that's what Christmas is, a small piece of that. God has a plan for our world, a plan that extends from the creation to the cross and then from the empty tomb to eternity. God's at work bringing around a perfect world. A world where all people will live in harmony and dignity together as the children of God. A world where that which is broken is going to be made whole. That which is sick is going to be made healthy. A world of peace and joy and love. That's what God is working here. And Christmas is about bringing His Son into the world to continue that plan of redemption. Part of that is the birth event, but the whole thing is a Christ event here. It's not only about the coming of Christ, but it's also about the coming of God's kingdom that we're talking about, when Christ will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So this isn't, you know, this isn't humanity's dream. This is God's dream, a world where all people will live in perfect harmony together. And Christmas, the birth of the Christ child, is just a small part of it. Have you noticed that human beings have tried to make nirvana, a perfect world, a utopia through time? A few years back, probably 10 or 12 years ago, they put Biosphere 2 down in Arizona. They built this great big dome, put all the fruits and vegetables and gardens. They put four couples in to live together for 2 years. They couldn't stand each other, and they had to get out. They drove each other nuts. Remember Jonestown, some of you? Jim Jones, religious guy down in California, took 1,000 people to the jungles of Guyana. They ended up all dying. People try to make a utopia, but they'll never be successful because human beings themselves are flawed creatures. Flawed creatures can never create a perfect world. Only a perfect God can bring about a perfect world. And that's what Christmas is about. This is part of God's plan. A child born in Bethlehem will one day rule over all of creation. And He'll rule with perfect love. And no longer will we ask, what would Jesus do? Because the law of love is going to be written in our lives. And we will live it every moment of every day and be His hands in the world. And so here's the good news for the day, huh? You and I can be a part of that perfect kingdom. You and I can do that right now. And as we spread the good news of God's love for all people everywhere, we become a part of that creation of this new heaven and this new earth that the prophets are talking about. And on no other foundation can the kingdom of God be built. I suppose the question to think about is, are you ready to do your part today to be God's hands in the world, to be His love and bring His peace and joy? And to be filled with hope, patience. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. As we receive our morning offering, let's join in singing the last two verses of O Come, Come, Emmanuel. Thank you. Will the congregation please rise? Let's join together in the communion prayer, offertory prayer on the bottom of page 4. Let us pray together. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In hope and anticipation, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Stir up in our hearts an eagerness for your coming. Grant us patience in our waiting. And while we wait, strengthen us to persevere in ways of justice and righteousness. Hear us, O God. In this season, nurture dry and dormant lands so that they will blossom in the coming months. Spread your abundance throughout all lands that every living thing may be filled. Hear us, O God. Draw near to all who are oppressed or neglected. Lift up all who are cast down. Deliver those in the captivity of loneliness and poverty into your freedom. Hear us, O God. Strengthen those who are made weak by the heavy burdens that they carry. Especially remember in our prayers this morning, Jim Christensen, Darwin Breeswitz, Regina Johnson, Ron Hass, Dean Newman, and all of those in our lives who need your healing touch. Surround them with messengers who announce your presence with them. Hear us, O God. Raise the expectations of all who seek you in this season. Turn us from material things and open us to a life full of healing and renewal where all people receive good news. Hear us, O God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love and for your Son who is born this Christmas to bring about your plan. We pray for patience as we wait for you to come. We thank you for our new sister in Christ, Ava. Thank you for her and her family. Raise her up that she might know your love and share it with those she meets every day. We ask for safe travel for those who will be on the road this week. We ask for your presence in our lives as we again journey to Bethlehem. Fill us with your Spirit. Remembering the saints who have entered into your eternal reign, sustain us through their witness to your everlasting faithfulness until we are united in the fullness of your kingdom. Hear us, O God. Almighty God, we entrust to you all for whom we pray, confident that you will fulfill your promises through Christ our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let's join together in our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Just as baptism is the beginning of our spiritual journey, we are nourished physically. Our spiritual journeys are nourished by the gift of bread and wine. Jesus, at his Last Supper, gave us this gift of life when he took the bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are invited to the table of our Lord. This morning we will use intinction, so I'll hand you the bread. You may dip it into the wine or the grape juice. If you happen to eat the bread, I'm going to give you another piece. Don't dip that in. Take it out and dip it back in, okay? If you are gluten intolerant, please ask for that, and we have that available as well. Table is set. Come and eat and drink. We'll begin with this side first. Serve you first. Congregation, please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. God of wonder, we give thanks that you have fed us once again with this foretaste of the feast to come. Strengthen us through this gift to serve our neighbor with joy, that all may come to see your glory reflected in the lives of your people. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The God of hope, through Christ our peace, in the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Our closing hymn is Joy to the World.
The Lord is come, let earth receive her King.